You are looking live from Kansas City, Missouri, where my collar is a little wrinkled because I just grab a shirt out of the drawer, run an iron over it really, really fast, and I sit down to record. Because
are you like one of the like is this like the shirt to just record, or did you wear like the undershirt for work?
Nah, like I literally just went to my drawer, took my work shirt off.
I used to be like that when I had to wear like button ups for the bank. Like I would just literally just iron like this part that people can see, you know, whatever. It just went straight to work.
This is an old shirt. This is the old Romans 10-9 John from Shock Music. Yeah, that's vintage. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it is.
13 years old. What was it 2010?
Man, that's a great question. That's probably about it. It's somewhere between 2008 to 2010.
You're one of them old men that can say, young man, I got undershirts older than you. You're one of those old, men.
That's hilarious. I mean, I guess so. Although I do got a fresh pack of staffers. We had a 90s party. You know what I'm saying? I went to JCPenney, got me a fresh pack of staffers. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm like, I done paid. Them staffers ain't cheap neither. So I'm definitely going to be wearing them throughout the summer. Let's to make go. Sure I get my money's worth out of it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But anyway, as you can tell, we're live. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you may find yourself as you listen to this and you tune to the only sports podcast, Brains and Bars. It's another episode of It's a Black and White Thing featuring A1 and A Ward. Please remember, you can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice, searching for It's a Black and White Thing or Brains and Bars. Please rate, give us 5 stars. Please leave a comment. And if you do nothing else, share the pod. You can also check us out live on YouTube pretty much once a week. We've been pretty consistent with that. We missed last week just because life happened. Yeah. But you can check us out just about every week, either Tuesday or Thursday on YouTube. Hit the notification bell, subscribe. And once again, tell a friend to tell a friend. It's them boys again. Share the podcast. Again, even if you watch it for 20 seconds just to give us the view, just share it and say, hey, I think I kind of know these guys. I kind of like these guys. I hate these guys, whatever. Hey, to quote Kanye West, whether you hate us or love us, at least you feel something. Share, love, hate, indifference. Otherwise, again, we appreciate every view. We appreciate all the sharing. I don't know if people think that the gun titles versus gun Bibles drop is an actual battle, but it's got a lot of views. I hope I'm not misleading.
Oh, that's
people.
Hilarious. That was not. I didn't know you named it that. That's so funny.
I did. When the announcement for you and Tay Rock was announced, right? I took the picture from the announcement from the riot, right? I threw it up. You mentioned during that discussion gun titles versus gun Bibles for each episode and each drop. If I can, I try to find something funny we say to make it for the official title or for the official YouTube drop. And like I said, it's got a couple of, I think it's almost 2,000 views on that thing.
That's funny. Which is
by far the highest viewed video on our channel. So we do appreciate you. We do appreciate you. But I promise I was not trying to be misleading. He said gun titles versus gun Bibles, and I threw it up there.
That's fine. That's hilarious. Oh, well, so, we're going to get our views how we get them. Guess what? I'm about to say something crazy this episode, too. We're going to try and do
But, yo, we appreciate everyone who stops by and checks us out. To those, again, we're also on social media at Brains and Bars, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter, where we are live on our Facebook fan page as well as our Twitter page. So check us out there as well. All right. All right, man. I think that's everything. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, I'm good. I was outside a lot today. I golfed the 18 holes and I mowed the grass when I got home. So, you know, that's good. It's always good to, you know, get out in the sun, you know, and so that was a good time. Had lunch with my little brother. It's been a good Thursday, man. It's been a good Thursday going into the weekend, you know, and excited for the weekend. So can't complain too much.
That's what's up. Likewise. All right. Man, let's get into this show, man. We got a few things we want to holler at y'all about, talk about, you know, rap about. So let's get into it. So because we missed last week, we have been going through our mock draft. I don't know if you want to call us a series, but we're going through our mock draft. We've been going four picks a week leading up to the NFL draft, which is coming up, I believe, in 3 weeks.
Yep.
So since we missed last week, we're going to have to go through eight picks. I do have one question, though, before we jump into this, right? So every people, when as it relates to quarterbacks, right? I know people have this thing of, well, you don't draft, you know, certain positions in the first round, right? But quarterback, there's a tax on quarterbacks. You go, you might, a guy who you think is maybe a mid-round first-round guy, J.J. McCarthy, right? Potentially has been seen as now someone's going to trade up to the top four or top five to draft him, right? And so people say, well, unless you have a Patrick Mahomes, a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen type player, right? Kind of a one of one, you know, one of the, you know, elite guys that you cannot win a championship, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand the sentiment, right? So with that being said, do you see in this draft a guy who has that type of potential or guys who have that type of potential?
It's hard to tell, man. I mean, I didn't see it last draft, and I think C.J. Stroud is a guy that has that type of potential. You know, I if we were doing this mock draft before that last draft, I probably wouldn't have been as big on C.J. Stroud as I was on, you know, a couple of the other quarterbacks, you know. So it, that's really, really tough to see. But, you know, I do really like Jaden Daniels. I like Jaden Daniels a whole lot. If there's one quarterback out of the four or five, like he's my guy. And for some reason, I think Bo Nix is a little bit of a sleeper, like kind of forgotten guy, you know. I'm not saying he should be, you know, but I think he's kind of getting pushed to the side a little bit. Him and Penix are kind of like afterthoughts right now. I think they're probably sitting in second round territory. But of the four, yeah, I like Daniels.
All right. Hey, Jesse, man. Like, I'm gonna throw this back up here again. Obviously, the Michigan man is shilling out for J.J. McCarthy. And again, here's the thing about the reason J.J. McCarthy is rising to the top of draft boards is the same reason Trey Lance rose to the top of draft boards despite not having a lot of work out there to review. It's because for some reason NFL owners or NFL decision makers are in love with the unknown. They are a lot like NBA scouts and analysts who they're always drafting for potential. And at quarterback, it seems the less you play, the more they love you.
Yeah.
The more you play, the more they find reasons, holes in your game, reasons why you're not the guy, why you can't be this. Right. So again, I'm saying, Jesse says, stop it. Lance is nothing like him.
I'm sorry. I think they both have the same amount of, they've done about the same amount in the NFL. So they are a lot alike in that regard.
I mean, I think, you know, J.J. McCarthy has thrown more passes, right? Like, obviously, he has more work. He played longer. So let me see. And because in the season, I mean, he threw more attempts in the season than I think Trey Lance threw, like, between high school and college. He's got 332 attempts just in the 2023 season. Yeah. And I think that might have been the amount of attempts that that Trey Lance had in his entire, like, college career.
I just feel like J.J. is like if the Vikings do trade up and get him, I think that's a good situation for him. But I do think that, like he's getting picked that high because of a team that believes that he can fit what they've already got. He's not getting picked that high because he's like, yo, this guy's going, like, gotta be picked. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like he's not like C.J. Stroud to the Texans. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, he needs a Vikings-type team. I don't think he's going to come in there and, you know, I don't think he's that type of, like, quarterback or that type of, I can't think of the word, the demand for him, you know?
Yeah, and so I guess that was my point, right? To me, out of all the quarterbacks who are coming out right now, Caleb Williams has the most, as it stands today, has the most potential to become a Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen type. The rest of these guys have potential, but their potential will be more easily realized by having high-end talent around them. And so I guess part of my reason for asking that question to start is, if none of these quarterbacks that we can see immediately have that type of potential, why would you reach and take them, a J.J. McCarthy, and as a first-round pick, which I doubt anybody had him as that beforehand.
You don't want to be talked about as the guy who missed out on a quarterback. No, we don't ever talk about GMs and people about, oh, you missed out on a running back, or so you might catch a wide receiver or something, but you hear about the GMs that, oh, yeah, you took Trubisky. Oh, yeah, you took such and such. Oh, yeah, you know, such and such fell to here, and he made you pay. Aaron Rodgers sat in the green room and can't be, you know, whatever. Like, that's what you hear about. You don't hear about that when it comes to, you know, the running backs, the wide receivers, the offensive linemen.
True, but you could also be the guy who took E.J. Manuel in the first round, mm-hmm. or Christian Ponder.
Or J.P. Losman.
I'm saying, right, like you could be – you could. I get it. You don't want to be the guy who passes on Patrick Mahomes, though nobody saw this, right? But I would say Deshaun Watson is probably the guy that if the – you know, if you want to criticize the Bears for passing on, where they – take Deshaun Watson, or they take Trubisky over Watson. When you saw Watson ball out against Bama, you saw him be in high leverage, high, you know, tense games, and he was able to come through in the clutch. But I just want to throw that out there. Like that part to me is the part that baffles me. Jesse says Williams has the biggest bust potential. Truth be told, they all need talent to surround them. I hope to God that McCarthy goes to a good team. I don't know. I think Williams has the highest bust potential because of the pedestal that we have put him on, right? Yeah, they've been saying he's Patrick Mahomes like for 2 years.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, you picked in the top six. Like, to me, if you fail and you're number one or number six, there's not that big of a difference. Like, that's, I mean, I did keep it a butt with you. Like, whether you're the first pick or the fourth pick or the sixth pick, like, if you're a top 10 pick and you don't perform, like, if Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy both end up being, you know, Zach Wilson's, like, it's an equal amount almost a bust to me, because that's where you were picked. It's about where you were picked, not about, like, you know, what the media narrative is that you're the second coming to this. You know, it's like, yo, no, somebody traded up and got you at that point.
No, because I think there's a difference between, like, Jamarcus Russell.
If anything, it's worse if J.J. McCarthy goes to a good team and is a bust, and Caleb Williams goes to a team, you know what I mean? Like, if you're sent to the, you know, back in the days when the Browns would draft quarterbacks, and it's like, you know, come on now, this is where quarterbacks go to die. You know, like, that's a less of a bust to me than if you're getting drafted by a team that already has Addison, Jefferson, Hawkinson, you know, a defense that's pretty good, a great coach, you know, like that's bust.
I mean, I hear you. I think it depends, right? Like, I think Johnny Manziel, even though he went like mid-20s to the Browns, I think he's seen as a bust because, again, of the hype that accompanied him. Hmm. If he didn't have that hype, if he was simply, I'm trying to think. I don't know if Lamar is a good comparison. I'm trying to think of somebody who went like late first round that didn't work out. But like, if he was some late round quarterback, Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love, the Packers traded back up into the first round to grab him. Let's just say Jordan Love doesn't work out. He's seen as a bust because he was picked up to replace Aaron Rodgers and it didn't work. Whereas Johnny Manziel had the Heisman Trophy. He had the money sign. He had all this hype around him, and it failed spectacularly.
But we still consider E.J. Manuel and Christian Ponder and these other guys as busts. Jake Lockers, they're busts.
Right, but I think if you ask people would say that Manziel, who was picked later than those guys.
Yeah, they're more familiar with him. They're more familiar with who Johnny Manziel is and the story of Manziel, yes.
Right. So that's why I say I don't know. I feel like I do think where you picked matters, but I also think that storyline and that narrative also matters in how people view you and how people, you know, whether they say you are all-time bust or whether you're just regular.
I think we've had the conversation before, but that's a whole other conversation. Is would you rather be picked, you know, higher or go to the right team, you know?
True. And so with that as a segue, we're going to jump into our mock draft. Right now we have on the clock the, I almost said Oakland Raiders. Man, sad days for the city of Oakland. They've lost their football team. Their baseball team is on the way out.
The Sacramento lost. The Sacramento Athletics of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah. So, but and also, I guess the Warriors, who were once in the Oakland area, moved to San Francisco. So, man, let's let me get share the screen. We can get this show on the road. Let me present. I want to share screen, and we want that one. Let me know if you can see that, sir.
I can see it.
Bet it up. All right. So on the clock, we have the Raiders. You can see here as Pro Football Focus. They have their needs as a lot. Quarterback, running back, O-line, defensive interior, which kind of sucks because they drafted a guy. Well, I guess he was technically an edge from Texas Tech. Tyree, I forget his last name. But they drafted him. But I thought he had inside-outside versatility. Tyree Wilson. But he has not worked out thus far. But what else they got on the board? Linebacker and cornerback. So we can see the top of the board. We got Brock Byers. We got Jerzon Newton. We got Latu. I hope I'm saying it right. Latu. I don't know. We got Byron Murphy. What do you think? What do you think for the Raiders here?
Well, they brought in who did they bring in for backup quarterback with Aiden O'Connell?
The stash went to Washington Gardner State. Gardner Minshew. Thank you.
So cool. They brought in Gardner Minshew. I don't think they're going quarterback this high. I think that, I don't think they're going quarterback this high.
So they want to give Tyree Wilson probably another year to see if he's the guy. So I would say edge is going to be out. Do you want to look? You want to probably go interior?
Interior with Byron Murphy. Is he interior?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm thinking Murphy, or I'm thinking O-line with
So
there's the other Samoan guy still left, right?
On their line?
On the O-line? Isn't there from Washington?
No. So they got Thayer Munford at right tackle, Jordan Meredith at right guard. Don't know who that is. Andre James. Don't know who that is.
Mari Dylan Mims?
Parham. Amarius Mims out of Georgia. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And Colton Miller is at left tackle. So, man, I mean, look. Well, I'm going to say let's go. Oh, they signed Christian Wilkins. So never mind.
They did sign Wilkins. Yes, they did.
They did sign. I think it's too high to go linebacker here. So
then does it need to be DB? Does it need to be the kid from Alabama? I don't think Cooper DeJean he's listed as the next DB up. Isn't the Alabama kid pretty close?
There's Kool-Aid McKinstry. You got Terrion Arnold. You have Nate Wiggins still out there. I'm gonna hold on. Let me let you see that so you can see who's out there. Corner might be the way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this. Cooper DeJean, I know, shout out to the white man bringing a revolution to the NFL. Like, I know he has – there's already been talk of moving him to safety.
Really?
To me, could he be a Kyle Hamilton. Could it be a Kyle Hamilton type? The clock's running. We're about to make a pick here. Hold on. Let me look at this. So at cornerback, they got Jack Jones, who they got in the trade from the Patriots. And they have at nickelback Nate Hobbs, who played well. And they have a young man named Jacorian Bennett, who was a fourth-round draft pick for them in 2023. So I say we go corner.
Go corner, yeah.
Let me look at their safeties real quick. Make sure. Safeties. Trevin Morick, who's nice. And Marcus Epps, who I believe they got from Philly. I say we go Cooper DeJean. He can provide versatility on either side, or whether you put him at nickel
and outside corner or something. If we end up with the XFL kickoff rules, he might be right there.
Well, he was, and which we will have the XFL kickoff rule. He is a really good punt returner. So you get that out of him as well. So we're gonna go Cooper DeJean. All right. So next up on the clock, we got the New Orleans Saints here. Let me see if I can pull up their depth chart to see what they need. Pro Football Focus says they need quarterback. Wow, everybody needs a quarterback. Wide receiver, tackle, and D-line.
What's the receivers looking like right here?
All right, let's see what we got over here.
Olave needs some help.
We got Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey. I kind of like, without looking at their depth chart, I kind of like Brian Thomas here.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Let me pull up this depth chart real quick, if I can find it. North, South, Saints. Thank you for the ad, but no thank you. All right, so they got Cedric Wilson, Rashid Shaheed, who's their deep threat. Yeah, 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 yeah. We're definitely going with Jesse. His pick was Terrion Arnold for the Raiders, by the way, just to let you know. We're definitely going Brian Mitchell here.
No, Brian Thomas. Yeah.
Brian Thomas, sorry. Shout out to Brian Mitchell, though. You know, kick return legend. He would have ate in this new kickoff rule, by the way.
Come on, what about Darryl Green?
Darryl Green would, yeah. Yeah. All right, on the clock, we got the Colts. So they said they're wide receiver, huh? I don't think so. I feel like they...
I mean, outside of Pittman, they really don't have much.
Well, let's find out. I like Josh Downs. I think Josh Downs, he's their slot receiver. Alec Pierce has been okay.
Yeah.
But are we trying to go... Let me see what they got at cornerback first before I say that. Juju Brents, not bad. And Dallas Flowers, who I have no idea who that is. So, wide receiver or corner?
We're going Terrion Arnold right here.
Terrion Arnold?
Yeah, we're going Terrion Arnold right here.
Bet it up. We're trying to fly through this as fast as possible to get to 20. All right, Seattle. I think Seattle, let's see, they got interior. I'm gonna throw out a name right now. I don't know if his mom still follows me. But Jackson Powers Johnson.
Very nice.
And I say that respectfully, by the way. I don't say that as some type of, you know, weird stuff going on. People crazy.
Are you guys related? Is that why?
that would have been dope because I would have loved to have gone to some Oregon games.
Yeah.
No, but we're not related. I think I put out a tweet about the Niners signing him, and she must have been like searching his name.
Oh, okay.
So she saw it and she followed me. And I was like, yo, respect.
Very nice.
Mama Johnson. So shout out to her. But I think right here, Jackson Powers Johnson, he has positional versatility. He can play center. He can play guard. So I would say this is the pick for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
All right. Also, we're flying through this because honestly, guys, after that top 10, I as a Niners fan, I'm kind of like, when I go through mock drafts, I am tuning all of this out until I get to 31, to be completely honest. All right, anyway, Jaguars, they have a bunch of needs here. Guard, center, edge. I feel like if Jared Verse is still on this board.
Is he? There's no way he's still on the board, is he? He is. That's it. That's the pick.
Well.
Even over Latu.
Well, hold on. So, they have.
I don't believe Byron Murphy or Jared Verse is going to make it this far.
Maybe, and we might need to look at. Hold on, let me look at this real quick. They got DB as one. Let me see who's at DB. They might need a DB more than an edge rusher. And here's why I say this, because I need to go look at their depth chart because I know they have the guy that they picked. They took over Aiden Hutchinson. His number's 44, but I can't think of his name right now. So that's why I'm looking it up. They got Josh Allen on one end and Trevon Walker is their other edge.
From Georgia, right? Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, at cornerback, they got Ronald Darby, who's moved around a lot. And they got Tyson Campbell, who was a second round pick. I say we go corner here because they got Eric Armstead in free agency help fill that position on the defensive interior.
Oh, I'm looking at the offensive guard. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say we look at corner here.
Who's left? Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Kool-Aid McKinstry is still out there. You still have Nate Wiggins, who in most mocks is like a late first rounder.
Yeah.
So Nate or Kool-Aid?
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty interchangeable, it seems.
Listen, guys, we're not breaking down like whether they're better in coverage or man. Yeah. Wrong show. Wrong show, guys. Wrong show. We can point you to the direction of one that's going to break it down on that level. Let's go Nate.
Let's go Nate. I like it.
Actually, you know what? We'll go Kool-Aid. I forgot about Terrion Arnold, by the way. That's the problem with like these football focus things. Or did we already have him?
Yeah, we already get Terrion. Yeah, Arnold's already going here.
Okay. My fault. All right. The Bengals tied in.
I mean, if it's not Bowers, then the Dolphins are getting Bowers. We know that. Like, this is like.
You know what? I think that's the pick.
It's got to be Bowers, right? I mean, Burrow getting Bowers is kind of wild, actually.
So that would be kind of crazy. Let me just check one thing to make sure they haven't made some splash signing at tight end in the.
They probably still got Tyler Eifert.
Actually, they signed Mike Gesicki. I think that's an underrated signing, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a perfect guy to just coach up him during mini camp so that Brock Bowers can get all the coaches. Come here, Mike, yo, vet.
So here's the other thing. Okay, they lost, or they at least, well, to this point, I almost said Taj Boyd. Tyler Boyd is still out there in free agency. I'm not sure that he's going to, I'm going to assume at this point they haven't re-signed him. He hasn't come back. T. Higgins wants to be traded. He wants out. So do you go with a wide receiver here in anticipation
of all of that falling apart?
So
it's a deep wide receiver draft.
Yeah, I would say – so, no, I would say we go Brock here.
Yeah, it's Brock.
Yeah, I agree. One last thing before we – let me look at one other thing. So they lost, not BJ Hill. Oh God, he tore like a lower extremity injury near the end of the year. They lost their interior lineman, in free agency. They signed Sheldon Rankin. Should we go Jerzon Newton here to try to shore that up,
Illinois guys?
All right, we're gonna go Brock.
Yeah.
I say this team who just lost their all-time interior guy has got to go either Newton or Murphy.
Yeah.
I like Murphy more than Newton. Personally.
I do too. I didn't think Murphy lasted this long.
All right, and then this finally, team. Oof. I mean, they need a quarterback technically, but they've already
gotten. Let's figure that out. So are we going wide receiver? They got rid of Deontay Johnson, but they picked up. Couple guys, right?
Let's find out. Hold on. I want to make sure I get this right. The power of the internet and our lads for their depth charts. Let's see.
They did pick up Cordarrelle Patterson, who might be amazing in that new kickoff. And that's,
I say we go wide receiver because right now their top three on their depth chart, George Pickens, Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins. Although I will say their offensive coordinator is Arthur Smith. If anybody loves to take lesser talents to throw the ball to, it's Arthur Smith. So I'm a little hesitant to give them anything on the offensive side of the ball.
Because the way he did Kyle Pitts and
Drake. Oh, my God. Like, we're going to get A.D. Mitchell, and he's going to be throwing the ball to, like, somebody named Deuce Watkins.
I don't know that they want A.D. Mitchell here, though, right? Is that the type of receiver that they want?
You think, Ladd McConkey would be a super high reach.
That is a very high reach, yeah.
So let's see what they got at O-Tackle.
That's the guy I was talking about.
Right here? So,
yep, on Washington, the offensive lineman, yeah.
So let me look at their line real quick. Let's see. Isaac Siamalu, they got him from Philly. Dan Moore's their fourth round pick. They got an undrafted guy from a center. They really could have used a center. I'm going to say yes. Let's go there. They got Broderick Jones at right tackle.
Yeah.
Fatanu, hopefully I'm saying that right, has positional versatility. He can play on the interior. They thought for a minute that he was going to be an interior guy because he has short arms. Apparently his performance at the combine made people maybe want to go check the tape to reassess some things. We're going Fatanu. Oh, I forgot. I was like, wait, who told him to auto select? Anyway, because I stopped at 20.
Oh, yeah.
So we ran through that pretty fast because we were behind. But this is our mock draft to this point. I am curious to see how many of these teams. I think we've nailed the first two. I think the first two are for sure.
Yeah.
I think depending on what happened, four is where it gets interesting because this Arizona trades out.
Yeah.
yeah, who trades out. But I am curious to see how many of these we actually nail in terms of the right pick and number or the right team. So this is our mock draft. Those were picks 13 through 20. Tell us what you think. Are we messing this up? Are we screwing these teams up? Are we being terrible GMs right now? Are we going to get fired in a couple of years?
Hurst is still on the board.
He won't be on the board that long. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some team. I could see the Bengals.
Yeah.
I could see Seattle.
Yeah.
Maybe the Saints, just because they have a, you know, Dennis Allen is a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. Cam, I'm going to say Cam Hayward. Oh, God, what is his last name? He's 94 for the Saints.
Oh, Jordan. Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan, thank you, is getting up there in years, and they might look to try to get their heir apparent, right? So,
yeah.
Verse, Latu, excuse me. One of those guys could go there. So, let us know what y'all think, man. Are we screwing this up? How is our mock looking? Hit us up at Brands and Bars on Facebook, IG, Twitter, TikTok. All right. I'm going to stop sharing the screen. Get us back. All right. One other piece of NFL news that happened this week. A shocking trade took place when the Houston Texans and the Buffalo Bills consummated a trade to send their star wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, from Buffalo to Houston. Houston got a couple of draft picks also as well. I think they sent the 2025 second-round draft pick back to Buffalo. And then today it was reported that they also voided the final 3 years of his contract. They took the injury guarantee, put that into this year's deal. He's going to get $22 million, all guaranteed, and this allows him to then go into free agency the following season. So for Houston, what does this trade do for them, at least for this season?
Yes, I mean, because it is probably just for this season. I mean, I could see them, you know, re-signing him. But, you know, when guys like Tank Dell, who's probably going to, you know, as long as he stays healthy, going to emerge as what you guys will see as a wide receiver one. And with guys like Nico Collins, and they even had another kid, I believe.
Dalton Schultz at tight end.
Yeah, Schultz, you know. And knowing that they're going to have to pay C.J. Stroud here in a couple of years, I don't know how much, you know, they're going to throw at Stephon Diggs after – this year. So I think this was just a play for like a, you know, hey, you know, let's load up and see if we can't make some noise. Let's see if we can't make an AFC championship game. Let's see if we can't sneak our way into a, you know, a Super Bowl somehow, you know? So yeah, it's definitely huge. And all I had to do was give really a second round pick for 2025. Yeah, man, I love what they're doing down there in Houston. If I hate that they're in the AFC, but man, they're definitely making the right decisions right now.
So Noah Brown still on the team. John Mechie, he had coming back from a cancer diagnosis.
Yep.
Still there. Robert Woods still there. So it's pretty stacked. That two deep is pretty stacked for them at wide receiver. Also moves they've made in the offseason. They traded for Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side, they got Danielle Hunter
from
Minnesota. They got Azeez Al-Shaair, a linebacker from Tennessee. Jeff Okuda, who was a once first-round pick, who they hope they could turn around, right? They got him in free agency. Denico Autry, who's a nice interior guy. I mean, they went and got Tommy Townsend from the Chiefs. I don't know how people rate punters, but punters are people too, right? So, I mean, they
– Is that the name of this episode?
Punters are people too. Yeah, shout out to Rich Eisen. That's his brand, man. Punters are people too. So I mean, they have went and made some really interesting moves that, yeah, like they looked at Kansas City and said, all right, look, you know what I'm saying? Like we're taking our shot at the king, and we hoping that we don't miss, because that with CJ Stroud, with those weapons, when you talk about the most, at least on paper, right? When we start talking who's got the best offensive skill position players in the AFC or in the NFL, you're going to be hard pressed to name
yeah.
a team. I mean, granted, this is off the top of my head without really doing any deep dives in it. Is there, I mean, I guess if you say mate, well,
you go the Dolphins,
I was going to say the Bengals, but I mean, they lost Mixon. They got their guy.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, it's probably going to be closer to the Dolphins.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah, but they're going to they got to be top five. Without really doing a deep dive, they got to be top five. And this is a team now. They won the division in their first year, made a playoff appearance, won a playoff game with the rookie quarterback, and now you have at least three more years to be able to build something with this guy on a rookie contract, and you can basically just blow the budget out the water until it's time to pay him. So I, as far as Stephon, I mean, what a time to make a bet on yourself. I think my concern for him is I do wonder if there's going to be some type of course correction in the within the wide receiver market, right? I got you look at, like we talk about, right, with this draft, there's so many, at least on paper, high potential, high quality receivers, and it doesn't seem like that train is going to stop anytime soon. So within owners look to course correct and say, well, okay, Stephon, if he has a all-pro, you know, first team all-pro year, can he get $30 million a year?
Yeah.
At age 30?
Yeah.
Right? Can he still command that if a team is going to say, well, you know, we got 10 more receivers coming off the factory line in the draft in 25?
Right, so, right.
So, no, we'll see, man. But I, at least if you're the AFC South, man, you got to be worried.
Yeah.
Right? Jaguars took a step back. We did get a chance to see Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Will Levis, you know, granted, they went and got Calvin Ridley. They still have D-Hop. You know, maybe the young man from Arkansas whose name Traylon Burks.
Yeah.
Maybe he takes off, but, man, you got to be looking at the division like, man, we're chasing right now based on what Houston has done. So, shout-out to my guy D'Amico, too. I root for him coming from San Francisco. And so, if it's not going to be the Chiefs out of the AFC, I'm not mad at the Texans coming out of the AFC just because of the San Francisco ties, man. But y'all let us know what y'all think. What do y'all think about the trade? Last thing before we go, Buffalo, this feels like a rebuild. This doesn't feel like a remodel, right? I feel like the Chiefs, when they redid their offensive line, when they redid their defense basically in one season, this was more of a rebuilding effort. For Buffalo, this feels like, okay, we might not make the playoffs this year. Like maybe we might be a fringe playoff team that has to do what they did last year in order to make it. Because what do they have around Josh right now?
Yeah, and you're getting Aaron Rodgers back in New York. You don't know what the Jets can be with him at a full season. You know, the Dolphins are just as good. You know, I don't think they're getting any worse in free agency. That's gonna be an interesting. Interesting division.
Yeah, I mean, just at wide receiver, they got Curtis Samuel in free agency, but Curtis Samuel has not lived up to the expectations of what was expected of him coming out of the draft. Khalil Shakir got potential. Justin Shorter, who? Tyrell Shavers, who? Andy Isabella, I know who he is, but who? Matt Collins, okay. Even if they go get a receiver in the first round of the draft, man, Josh Allen has been tasked with carrying a lot on his shoulders, and I feel like they literally said, give him more, right?
Yeah,
get Diggs out of here and put – granted, unless they're going to become a smash-mouth, run-the-football team, 12 personnel with Kincaid and Knox, with Dawson Knox at tight end, Cook at running back. All right. Anyway, let us know what y'all think, man. How y'all call it? How y'all see that? Real quick, let's talk Final Four, and we get a little bit of battle rap when we close out the show. All right, so Final Four is set in both the men and the women's games tomorrow night. The women's Final Four kicks off. You have UConn taking on Iowa, South Carolina taking on NC State. Is this still South Carolina's title to lose?
It is still South Carolina's title to lose, but South Carolina has, you know, over the last couple of months shown that they can lose some games, you know, they haven't. so take that with whatever you may, but like, you know, the game against Tennessee that, you know, we just decided not to guard the girl at the top of the key for some reason, you know, she hits the 3-point buzzer. This is ridiculous. You know, the game against Oregon State, the game against, like, there's a lot of games in March that should, outside of the North Carolina game, that, you know, we're close. We're a couple possession games going into the final minutes, you know. And we saw this with LSU and South Carolina earlier in the year, you know, a very, very tough back and forth. I don't think that they've shown like dominance, you know, on their way to their record, you know, but they are undefeated. So it is if South Carolina has to lose, but I'll put it this way. UConn or Iowa is going to be a very, very tough game for them. And I don't want to dismiss NC State because I do think South Carolina will beat NC State. I think NC State is good, and I think they can play them close. I think they can play them within, you know, a couple of possessions. But I think inevitably Dawn Staley, you know, the return champs – or not the return champs, the undefeated, you know, South Carolina, I think that they'll end up winning the game. But Geno in a championship game or Caitlin Clark – that's not – I don't see – that's not going to be one of those where they're favored. I mean, they've been favored 8.5 points, you know, damn near every game up to, you know – up. I mean, I think they were favored 15.5 last game in the Elite Eight, 20 in the Sweet 16. You know, I don't that spread's going to be more like about 2.5 or 3, you know, when it comes to the championship game.
I say 6 if they win. No, I say 4.5. 4.5. I think that'll be what the spread is if it's UConn – I'd say you're going to be closer to 7.5 just because UConn's depth is not there. And assuming, you know, South Carolina gets into the wins, they get to the final healthy, they're going to have bodies to run at UConn. Yeah. If it's Iowa, I'll say 4.5.
Okay.
As a spread for South Carolina. You know what? I'm going to make a bold prediction. And I don't know how bold this prediction is. It's not a bold prediction. I think Iowa's going to win it.
I mean that's the story, right? The you can't see me from Angel Reese last year. They lose in a championship game. They come back. They knock out LSU. They win the title. She goes number one overall in the WNBA draft. I mean that's just how the sports write themselves, right?
I mean yes.
And she beats the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks
for the second time in a row in the Final Four. This time in the championship game, but I think we make so much about Caitlin Clark. And yes, that is true, right? She is the end. Like we watched a game together Monday, and I'm like, she's like Steph, right? She's the engine that makes that thing go. But I also think that those other young women have the capability. The first half, when Caitlin wasn't really getting off like that, I hate to use the others because it marginalizes the other players on the team by not actually giving them an identity. But the other women on the team were getting their buckets. They were hitting threes.
The other girl had 21-6, you know, like it's just they literally – and, you know, I haven't watched a lot of their games this year, but, man, she sees the floor. She puts them in positions to hit easy shots, you know. Like they're getting passes, and the way everything's operating, they're running the floor, and it's layups. It's not a lot of, like – you know, tough. And now South Carolina's defense is going to, you know, not make it as that easy. But I'm telling you, man, she's the real deal.
Yes. So Kate Martin had 21. Let me give some identity to these women because they're not just the others. Sydney Affolter had 16. But again, in the second half, man, Caitlin, she went Super Saiyan.
And every time it got to 6 or 7 or 8, it was Caitlin Clark. They got it back to 9 to 10 to 11. You know, every time LSU thought they were making a run.
And I still don't understand why Kim Mulkey did not. And granted, I don't want to belabor the point because everybody's made this already. But why she didn't try and put Flaugier on? Once Haley started to get cooked, I don't understand. They were playing drop coverage. They weren't having the bigs when they would run the pick and roll. Come out and hedge hard and try to at least so they can hedge and so they can let Haley recover and then they can try to go find their. She just let her go off. And I mean, I don't believe in momentum in sports, but I do believe in a hot hand. And once a shooter starts to see them drop, you got to do something to take that away from her. And I fully expect UConn to have a different defensive coverage than LSU did. Hedge those picks and try to recover. Make sure they are following her everywhere she goes. And like you mentioned, to me, her passing is the thing that really separates her, because she's able to find these lanes. And LSU did a really good job of playing the lanes in the first half and turning her over. Second half, once she started hitting shots, I feel like those lanes opened back up. She was finding people cutting, finding open shooters. And like you said, that was
pretty much it. If they win the championship, this will go down as the greatest year a female has ever had playing basketball. I don't think she is the greatest. I don't think she could be the greatest female basketball player ever. But I'll say for 1 year, like, I think this would be the greatest year.
Now, to me, that's the debate we need to have, right? I think people keep trying to put her in this greatest ever discussion, and I'm like, listen.
Come on,
guys. Brianna Stewart, Tina Thompson, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Miller,
season.
But a single season, man, she's probably going to be player of the year. She's going to be most outstanding player, potentially. Win a national championship. 8.
Yeah.
Breaking records. You know, only player, I think, with 3,000 points and 1,000 assists. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a fair assessment versus saying she's the greatest ever. Because I can't take the championships aside, right? Like, Breonna Stewart, Maya Moore.
Yeah,
I mean, just name a UConn or Tennessee. Let's start there, and then we can start working our way to Cheryl Swoops, who put up 47 in a championship game on 22 shots.
Yeah.
Okay, we could go on and on. But anyway, let's jump to the men's final four, and we can get in the battle rap and get out of here. All right, so men's final four, it is also set. UConn is going to be taking on
Alabama.
Thank you, Alabama. And you got – Purdue and NC State. Listen, guys, I am more locked in on the women's game than I am the men's game. I'm just going to keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. But I also just had a brain fart because I'm old. Anyway, Purdue versus NC State. This is the year of the big man, right? You got DJ Burns Jr. over NC State. You got Zach Edey with Purdue. You also have Donovan Klingon, who I didn't know they called Kling Kong until like last week, which I thought is what I think is great. That's a great nickname.
Kling Kong versus Fao Ming. Let's go.
So I think that this is the year of the big man in college basketball, which I think is great because I hate to see what has happened to the big man in the NBA and him being marginalized and pushed out to the 3-point line. Although Wemby might bring it back a little bit. He might bring it back. We're going to have a whole episode just talk about Wemby. His rookie season
is like nuts.
I don't want to get too sidetracked here.
Yeah.
But the hype on him coming in, and he has, I think, exceeded it. I think he's exceeded expectations with just his play, his handle. His 3-point shooting ability is improved.
The blocks are just nuts.
Anyway, college basketball.
Yeah.
DJ Burns versus Zach Edey, I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup.
LA Times should really write an article on that. Good versus Edey. That's what that is. DJ Burns versus Zach Edey is good versus evil.
All right. Get out your feelings, Vol fan. Get out your feelings. Anyway. That is an interesting matchup, though, because DJ Burns, part of what makes Zach Edey and that defense so tough is because he's able to anchor himself near the rim, right? DJ Burns can pull. Now, he doesn't have range to the 3-point line, but he sometimes starts his post up from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
And so if he's able to start there and allow the cutters and all the backside action happen while he is, you know, surveying the floor, I think it makes for an interesting matchup if North Carolina State can hit their jumpers and get to the rim without having to worry about a 7'4" guy standing between them and the rim. So I think that's an interesting matchup too.
And I think, you know, the thing that Tennessee didn't do is they didn't make him play defense. None of our bigs, you know, actually posed any kind of offensive threat towards him to where he had to play on both sides of the ball. And DJ Burns can get down there, you know, with his left, and he can step out and he can shoot it, and he got a couple moves and he could dish, you know, and that's going to put Zach Edey in a position to where hopefully NC State runs, you know, I'm sure they will, but that's going to put Zach Edey in a position where one, he can get called for some fouls on the defensive side, you know, and two, you know, there's some fatigue, maybe some, you know, who knows, you know, and that's what it's going to take though.
Yeah, and I do wonder with DJ how much – I don't feel like they run a lot of pick and roll with him. But if mm-hmm. – man, you got to do something to draw Edie away from that basket, though. And if you can at least, like I said, at least with the post-ups, can DJ stay out of foul trouble while trying to guard Zach? Because that's going to be the tough
he
one.
He fouls the ball. He fouls a lot as well.
Well, and I think part of the issue to me from a Tennessee standpoint is I feel like they just let – they ceded position too easily. Right, like I feel like they didn't make him work enough. Try to front, so you can have someone if they try to lob it over the top. Try to apply pressure once that ball gets down. And if you get if he gets to within 8 feet of the basket, two dribbles, he's basically turning around at the rim. So can they make him work for his post position? I think is the other thing. Who you got in that game?
I got Purdue. I think Purdue UConn is pretty much. It's pretty set in stone. But I do think that Alabama and NC State both have the ability to win the games. I don't think it's, you know.
So I think Bama, I think you're right. To me, I think the committee did a great job in seeding. You had what I think 13 of the 16 teams were one or two seeds or one between one and four seeded teams, right? And granted, while you have an 11 seed and Bama's a 4 seed, I feel like Bama was one of the best 16 teams in the country this year.
Yeah, definitely.
They were top 10 team.
They led the SEC pretty much, you know, the whole year. I think it was the last week and a half when Tennessee kind of closed it out, you know, with three big wins and Bama lost a couple. So,
yeah, and Bama can shoot, right? Like, they can shoot. They're not shy about putting them up. And they get out and they run. And so even off of makes, right, you think you make a shot and you think, okay, cool, we can set our defense. They're taking that ball out and they are getting up the court and they are finding open shooters off of makes. So can granted, UConn has been incredible this entire run, just suffocating teams and blowing them out. But to me, the other part of this that makes Bama dangerous is I don't know if UConn has faced a team where they have a big man who can step out and hit a jumper.
Yeah, because Stevenson.
Klingon has also been able to camp in the paint and to deter shots and make life tough for people. They have guys who can step out both as a starter and off the bench. Well, not the starter. The starter is not so much a three-point shooter. Yeah. But I think he can step out and hit some jumpers, though.
Yeah.
Can they draw him out and make him work? Yeah. To hit shots. And if they can do that, they have a chance. To me, they have a better chance of putting the upset than NC State does.
Yeah.
I think NC State has been on a magical run. But like I said, Purdue makes life really tough for you defensively. And it's not just Edie. They have other players that can make life tough for you. But I think that I have UConn and Purdue, who have been the two best teams all season, playing in the final. It would not shock me to see Bama pull the upset if one of them do it.
If Bama ends up playing Purdue, I'm not. That would be the worst national championship I ever had to watch in my life. So I can't root for Alabama or Purdue. Purdue is officially my number one most hated college outside of the SEC.
Because they've knocked you guys out of the tournament, like, what, 3-4 years? Like, not in a row.
And they beat us in that football bowl game where they said, you know, they pulled the running back across the goal line when they had Aiden McConnell and Carl Laftis and all them. Yeah. I hate Purdue.
I get it. That's how I feel about Villanova as a Carolina fan. And how I feel about Bama, because they've lost to Bama now 2 years in a row.
Dang, I didn't realize that. Now, Bama's already beat Clemson and North Carolina, so if somehow they end up against NC State and win that, they might as well just give them the ACC championship, too. they might as well give them both of them for the tournament run.
Listen, I don't want to belabor the point, but I just – Withers shooting that three is going.
Shout out to Mark Sears. He's nice. Yeah. I like
Sears. Mark Sears.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sears. Did you hear what they said about his three-point shooting? Mm-mm. So I think they said he shot like 25% his freshman year.
Yeah.
That summer, he went into the gym with a goal, and I think he, at least according to the story, he met it, of making 15,000 three-pointers.
For the summer?
So not – in one summer, not taking 15,000, making 15,000.
That's crazy.
And apparently ever since that point, his three-point shooting has been much improved. And, I mean, how can it not be? If you take 50, if you say I'm going to make 15,000, you still stink as a shooter, Virginia has a place for you on their squad. They, Tony Bennett is like, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, where have you
come,
been?
Come, my son. But nah, like, but yeah, shout out to them. And they got shooters all across the board, man. That's going to be, to me, a very fast pace unless UConn slows it down. UConn has got, even off of makes, I think they got to press, slow them down. If you can slow them down, because Bama, they're trying to get to 90.
Yeah,
they get, if they get to 90, you're in trouble, because that means you've given up a lot of bread, a lot of buckets. So,
yeah,
y'all let us know who y'all got in the title game. Who you got, UConn or Pitt? I'm sorry, or Purdue. Excuse me.
I got UConn. Yeah, I got UConn winning it all.
Yeah, I mean, I got them in the bracket challenge winning it all. I don't see it. All right, man. Y'all let us know what y'all think. Who y'all got? Final fours of both the men and the women's. I got Iowa taking it all. I got UConn in the men. Who y'all got? Hit us up at Brands and Bars. You got South Carolina?
I got South Carolina. Yeah, I still got South Carolina winning it all.
I can respect that. Shout out to Don Staley, one of my favorites, by the way. At Brands and Bars, Twitter, IG, Facebook. Let us know who y'all got. All right, real quick, let's talk a little bit about a wrap, because do have a couple of things that happened in the culture this week. First of all, Wodey, Woman of the Year, was the breakdown happened on Champion this week, and shout out to Miss Hustle. Miss Hustle is the Wodey for 2023. She had a phenomenal year, had some really great highs. We got to see her in person at Chrome take on Shuni the Rapper. She has a 2-on-2 where she pretty much carried Danny Myers, if you ask me, in my opinion. And she had what I believe people would say a consensus win against Tay Rock on his 50th battle for Kings and Queens. So, I do want to use her winning to ask this question, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this, I know you get a chance to watch it, but there was part of the running theme of this Wodey breakdown and this discussion was Shuni the Rapper had suffered several chokes throughout the year. Shayna Ashley, I think she only had two battles, which is against Rosenberg Raw and then against Tori Doe. Right. And although Shayna says she had a third battle, so I need to go and actually, while you have this discussion, pull up her verse tracker and see what the third battle was, because she said she had three.
Must have been a one rounder because you kept saying five rounds, right? You said five.
But rounds. I mean, but now because the, I mean, I guess maybe one of her rounds versus, I'm assuming Rosenberg maybe wasn't that crazy.
Oh, okay.
I think her first two to Rosenberg, like she was up 2-0 clear.
Yeah.
Like she really was getting them out of there. Those first two rounds. I think the third one was just okay.
Gotcha.
And then her three rounds to Tori were fire. And this is where Tori is just, you know, saying round in each
yeah,
you know, well, each round. So I wanted to ask this question because there was a lot of discussion of, you know, Shuni ended up being higher than Shayna. And shout out to Low, Big Low from a New Era podcast was like, you know, and Ty Ty, too, as well, from LTBR, were like, we're saying that in favor of Shayna of saying, look, she had a really great round. She had moments or a particular moment in each of her battles with Tori and with Rosenberg. We don't understand why that's not being valued enough over Shuni, who, yes, has more work, you know, more stages, more opponents, but choked in a lot of her battles. So my question to you, because this is, you can, I guess, respond to what I'm going to say here, because it's more or less of a critique for me. When you talk about Cody, to me, they look at choking as that's a performance issue. To me, choking affects you across impact because we remember your chokes. It affects you in performance. It affects you in material because it's material you could not get out. It affects you in consistency. So that's at least four of the, I think there's either five or seven.
Yeah, the other one's criteria. Strength of schedule, which is not really.
Right, strength of schedule, right. So is my assessment correct that choking is not just a performance issue? It is an issue that affects you across multiple categories.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously performance, but material as well. In like, you know, you're choking obviously during your material. So that bar or that you're stumbling through, we just watched New Jersey twerk. He had some really good material against T-Top, but he just stumbled and fumbled and, you know, choked through it all. And it's like, I'm not just gonna say, oh well, he had some great ideas, so you still have amazing material. No, you didn't get it out, you know. So to me, that's huge. Impact, yeah. You know, the thing about impact with people is impact's always a popularity contest. You know what I mean? It's so big on like who you are and what event you're battling on. You know, you know, choking, you know, in those types of scenarios, you know, it can affect that as well. So yeah. And the thing about it is like, you know, I can only kind of compare it to myself or whatever. But when you take more battles, you open yourself up to more scrutinization, being scrutinized, right? You know, let's say I take 20 battles, right? And I lose 3 and I win 17, right? They're still the guy that's won 4 battles and only took 4 battles, I'm not getting the benefit of the doubt to say, but he lost 3 battles, but he won 17, right? They're saying, no, he lost 3 battles. You know, this guy's 4-0. So that you have to keep that consistent, you know, whether it's on Cody or it's on Wody. So if you're saying, well, Shane Ashley only did 2-3 battles, but Shuni was outside and did 7 battles, that doesn't count over here. That doesn't count over there. You know what I mean? Because we're still looking at guys that had 3, 4, 5 battles over the years, and we're saying, nah, they don't battle as much, you know? They did what they had to do with what was put in front of them, you know? And that's why we put them right here, you know? So that's nobody's fault but the people who battle a lot. Coming from somebody who battles a lot, I know that I'm opening myself up when I do 15, 16, 17 battles a year to scrutiny, to, he was just okay with that. Him, you know, him and Verb was battling tonight. He went crazy. Him and Real Sick was battling weekend. He went crazy. But him and Frack but him and Clips wasn't as strong as it could have been, right? You know, I'm opening myself up to that as I battle a lot. And so, so yeah, in that situation, like, you know, it's not fair. You know, Shuni's obviously the bigger name. People know Shuni. She's a more popular name or whatever. And I'm not familiar with the resumes or anything like that. But if you're saying Shuni, you know, has choked and or stumbled in, you know, a good portion of her battles. But then you go and say, well, she had 3 really good battles and Shayna had 3 really good battles. It's like, no, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they both had 3 really good battles and Shuni choked in 5. Shayna should be over Shuni. That's how I feel, you know?
I can respect that. Like I said, I think it was a topic that was repeatedly kept coming up as they went through it. And I think...
How about we just stop letting people in that choke? How about that? Do your job. Why are we, you know?
I mean,
multiple times, you don't deserve to be in the top 25. In well, college football, I mean, you lose multiple games, you know, you're not gonna be in the top 25. You choke multiple times, get it right.
I mean, so
remember your bars.
Obviously, right? You are the professional here, and I am the Joe. So I can't explain why people choke. Some of it is lack of prep, right? I mean, I think if you are at a certain level, I'm pretty sure most of you are preparing last minute. You're on the flight. You're in the hotel room and you're somewhere between, okay, I am 80% locked in and it's just really the final 20% is memorization, to I am 50% locked in and I got a third that I still have to write, or I still got to, you know, I have bits and pieces of this and I'm just going to put it together and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I can't, you know, I can't speak too much on that. I know people have talked about having deaths in family, having coming from traumatic situations, getting on the plane, trying to battle through it, illnesses, so on and so forth. Yes, I would love to see everyone get through their material, not choke, not have hard stumbles. I give a little bit more grace in that area until you've made it a habit. Once it's become a habit, then my critique becomes a little bit more harsh because, yes, you are a professional. You are getting paid to do this. I understand that there are lots of stressors in your life that make it hard to write, to get into it. But this is what you signed up for. I didn't ask you to do this, right? I didn't put a gun to your head. I didn't push you into the middle of the ring and say, battle. You did it. You got to be a professional, be on top of your game, and present your best performance every time. Everybody's not going to love every performance. They're not. But you still have a responsibility to bring 3 rounds, yeah, and 3 decent, at least decent rounds, right? Like, I don't think that's asking too much from a fan perspective. All right.
Yeah, because once it becomes a habit, man, it's like the one thing we fail to realize is the fans are the consumers, right? Like if you buy a CD of your favorite rapper, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're spending money on a CD and all of a sudden you start listening to it and track 4 skips or track 7, you know, the second verse is missing or track, you know what I mean? Well, you'd be like, I paid money for a product, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, as battle rappers, you know, we can't guarantee, but if I go to a musical on Broadway, like I expect that when I go in there to see the musical, to hear the songs, to finish the story, you know? And it's like, when it becomes a habit, now you are in a position to where you are robbing consumers of what they pay for. Maybe this isn't what you should be doing, you know? And you're only bailed out by the fact that there are 11 other people on the card that are taking up for your slack. Because imagine if this was a one-off. Imagine if it was one battle, one price, you know? Now you're completely at fault, you know? You know. So it's like once the choking thing is allowing people to continue to make that a habit and do that over and over and come unprepared or come in there and freestyle and BS and do all that kind of stuff is just continuing to enable what we call professionals in this sport to provide consumers with something that they paid for, you know, and not give it to them, you know?
So I've seen a shout out to Rosenberg, and forgive me if I butcher this, but he put out a tweet that said, do you feel that battle rappers should be docked for their pay if they choke?
I mean, I believe there are some battle rappers that should have that, like at some point, because of your history, should have that clause in their contracts because they obviously need something to hold them accountable. Mm. You know, like you said, there's grace for some battlers. You know, if Tay Rock comes in there and he chokes, I'm like, something had to be wrong. You know what I mean? Tay Rock doesn't choke. He's a professional. He's consistent. He shows up. He doesn't. You know, he doesn't call out no show, you know, he raps, you know, I'm not treating Tay Rock the same way I'm treating Chess or the same way I'm treating Twerk or the same way I'm treating some of these other battle rappers who have a history, you know, of coming in there and just playing around with the money, you know?
Okay. So my response to that was no, right? That you shouldn't dock them. And I said in part because when I mess up at my job, I don't have anybody coming in and saying, hey, cut his check, right? The package didn't get to where it was supposed to go. Dock his pay. You know, so, I mean, I tend to offer
a little bit more but grace. You look at it that way. I look at it is, what if you no-call, no-showed over and over? You're fired. You're this not getting paid, you know?
This is true.
So I'm looking at it from a, you know, obviously, I'm salary, you're salary, you know, but if we were hourly, you know, you don't show up, you don't get paid.
This is true. This is true. Shout out to Mama Ward in the building. This is about the Wody conversation. There's not an answer to any of it. It's all opinionated. You can't explain battle rap wins or losses in her opinion.
Facts. Mom's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But we try. We try.
Yeah. Yeah. We want, you know, that's the fun in it is who won and who lost, you know, like you know, that's the fun in it. The fact that, and that's why I'm not big on judge battles. You know, it's just like, I like the back and forth of I had him win and I had, you know, that's what makes it fun.
All right. One last question. We can get out of here. So to me, when we look at Wody and Cody, to me, when we look at someone's resume, right? You and Tay Rock are battling end of the month. Shout out to M3S3. Shout out to the Riot. Monopoly 2 going down in Orlando. I think it's April 27th? 28th. You were number 10 on the Cody list. Tay Rock was number 7. Assuming that you guys have your standard year, right? Like you, neither one of you fall off the map. To me, when that group sits down in 2025 to review 2024, if you are in the running for Cody, right? Or if Tayrock is in the running for Cody, the fact that number 7 Tayrock battled number 10 A-Ward should factor into that. It's not just the name, right? Because I feel like sometimes we have these names on these resumes who may historically have been one thing, not what they once were. And so that name will get held in higher esteem because this person has more of a brand name recognition versus I'm trying to think of who finished like a newer name that was kind of further back in the rankings.
Right. Like battling a Fonz should be better than battling an Arsenal.
Yes, because Fonz has, I think he was ranked on this year's Cody list.
I think he was. I think he was top 15 at least.
Yes. We're talking to someone who's been top, we'll use 15 as a round number.
Yeah.
He's been a top 15 battler now 2 years in a row. Battling an A-Ward who has been on every Cody list since, what, 2018?
Yeah.
Right? Someone who's been seen consistently as one of the top 20 battle rappers in the world now for 6 years should hold more weight. And please, respectfully, right, when I say this name, I'm not trying to take anything away from their legacy, what they've done. It should be seen as higher regard than battling Hollow the Don at this point. Yeah. Why? Because when we sit down and make – now, granted, Hollow the Don has done enough where he doesn't have to battle.
Right.
He doesn't have to battle 3-4 times a year, and all due respect. However, if you get Hollow the Don and you get a subpar Hollow the Don, that should not factor more than battling A-War or Big K, who's the reigning champion, or Geechee Gotti, or any one of these names that repeatedly are on these lists. So your thoughts on that particular line of reasoning when we talk about Cody or Wody?
Yes, most definitely, you know, which is, you know, I don't necessarily think it will happen because it will kind of show even more the changing of the guard, you know, per se, because, you know, these guys that are the legendary guys that built this, you know what I mean? They need that. They hold on to that. They get booked. Their money and everything relies solely based off of everybody still considering battling them is the end game, right? Like that's their identity, right? Like they very rarely are they putting on rounds of the year or battles of the year, or, you know, these guys they're coming in, they're getting checks based off of their name, and, you know, they're kind of getting compensated for the little money that they made back whenever they were building this whole thing and were battling, you know, for the love type stuff. But yeah, most definitely, you know, battling a real sick, battling a Fonz, battling a, you know, who else? I'm trying to think of who else finished in that
top. I mean, Easy's consistently been in the running the last couple of years.
You know, these are battles. These are the battles that are, you know, and that's the thing is we do a top 20 thing at the end of every year. You know, like in any sport, any kind of thing is it's a recurring thing. You kind of follow people during the year as to where they're at, and that's why the NCAA makes so much money because, oh, hey, guess what? Tune into, you know, Big Monday. It's number 10 against number 3. You know, if we had a running thing of that in battle rap, you know, right now you would be looking at it and you would say, oh, it's number 2, you know, Tayrock against number 12 A-Ward or something like that, you know, because maybe I haven't, you know, put – I mean, I haven't lost yet this year, but I've you know, only battled 6 times and not big names, whatever. It's like, yo, this is a premier marquee matchup, you know. Then you follow it accordingly, you know. But we just do it at the end of the year. And then we kind of – we give it for like a 2-day thing, and then we erase everything. And it's like back – oh, now let's see what you can do this year, you know. But, yes, it's definitely more marquee. It's definitely more, you know, when you're battling somebody that was on a list from the previous year, the very next year or a few months later, you're catching them at a time where they're hot, obviously, you know, because they just finished the year in some of their best battle rap. So you're going up against them at a time where they're rapping at the high of their career, you know, and that should be said something.
Yeah, like I said, I agree. I think that's something that, like, we have to me, at least in my opinion, right? Like, if I were to ask the panel to consider, like, to me, that is something that they should consider. Like, to me, you have to consider the fact that, again, if Big K battles Easy this year, we're talking about the champion versus someone who was number, I forget where, right. where he ranked. He's top five. He was top five somewhere in there, right?
Yeah. I think he was six.
Yeah. Right? Like, you have to take that into account. Like, to me, that when you sit down in 2025, to me, that matters because I don't see Big K or Easy having this hard fall off where they won't be ranked next year.
Right.
They have enough battles to qualify, assuming they have enough battles, you know, so I don't know. To me, that's just something that should be. When we talk about resume, to me, sometimes the name matters more so than the performance. And I think they've tried to do some things to factor in the performance of the name to make sure it balances. But if you're talking about the top 20 battlers in the world, you know, I think Marv might have been number 20. Yeah. Like, battling Marv 1 right now, whether you respect his legend status or the work he's put in the game, it should mean something a little bit more to you because he is seen as one of the best in the world. And that should factor in to how you view whoever battles him who is in consideration or how you view his year going forward. I don't know. So that's my take on it, man. Y'all let us know what y'all think about that.
Indeed.
One last thing, we got this from Mama Ward. Should one rounders count? Jay Black has stated that one rounders do not count unless they are classic. I think Young Ill and T-Rex is kind of the standard that he has put forth for that. If we have a classic one rounder, then I think the impact of that is going to matter. I think I wonder if you have a classic round, maybe your opponent doesn't. But, like, you know,
So like a Geechee Mike P, you know, wasn't that, it was one round, right?
That was a one rounder.
So, you know, one rounders, I don't think they should count necessarily if we're trying to go in wins and losses and stuff. You know what I mean? But they can count for impact. They can count for moments, you know, like those types of things can come from a one rounder, you know. Strength of schedule, I don't think they should count because it's just not hard to write for a one rounder. You know what I mean? There's no strategy back and forth. There's, you know what I mean? So like the strength of schedule and different things like that, maybe not as much. And if we're like going off like wins and losses, like that's just kind of one round is difficult to already gauge, you know, but you know, if you go in there and you get whooped up on, you know, badly, you know, or if you go in there and you put on, you know, the greatest one rounder we've seen, you know, I don't think we should just be like, it was only one round, you know, but that you're talking like maybe two or three battles, one round battles overall for the whole year that really count, you know, not everybody's one rounders like, you did this, you did that, but they did that, you know what I mean? So yeah. I definitely think that for, you know, I think the rule is what, three or four battles? You need to have three round battles.
They changed the criteria. Yeah. You have to have 4 3-round battles.
Yeah, I think you have to have 4 3-round battles to qualify. But if you do have that one rounder that's like, oh my goodness, you know, like if you got a million people that watched it, you know what I mean? Like, we're not taking that away from you. Like, yo, it was one rounder. Like, no, that needs to go to it. You know, I think me freestyling in the parking lot, you know, at that year that I was freestyling in the parking lot was like an impact type thing. It wasn't even an organized battle or whatever. But some things like that can be like, yo, he been talked about all year, da 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 da, whatever. But little things like that can go towards it too. You know, Easy to Block Captain, even his diss track, you know, that helped a lot with him, with engagement and impact and different things. So,
for sure. All right, man, y'all let us know what y'all think, man. What you think about Cody? Shout out to Miss Hustle. What y'all think about Wody? How should those things be categorized? Should your ranking factor into how you look into the future in terms of matchups? And I cannot remember what the other thing was we talked about regarding Wody. Oh, choking versus clean performances. So hit us up at Brains and Bars on Facebook, Twitter, IG, TikTok. That has been our show for tonight. Please remember, you can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice, searching for It's a Black and White Thing or Brains and Bars. Give us 5 stars. Give us a like. Share the broadcast. Share the podcast. You can check us out here on YouTube as well at Brains and Bars. Please hit the like, hit the notification bell, subscribe, and again, please share the broadcast. And until next time, it's been a black
thing,
man. We holler at y'all next week. All right, man. Y'all be easy.